Joining us right now on our KTAR Newsmaker line is former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods, friend of the show. And we're bringing Grant in because he was there in the midst of the debate last night, the senatorial debate between Republican Congresswoman Martha McSally and Democrat Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema. Grant, good morning to you.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing oakley-dokley. Now, listen, I mean, it is no secret that you are talking about a political future coming up and looking at different things, and you've been very out front about this, and you certainly went from being a Republican, Arizona Attorney General, a great friend of Senator McCain's, obviously, and you're looking at the other side of the aisle a little more longingly these days. So when you saw the debate last night, I think you're kind of in a unique position. You've kind of been on both sides of the R and D world. What did you see in the debate?
Well, you know, I support Kyrsten Sinema, so I mean, people should know that going in. So I try to be objective about it, and but I do support her. I thought it kind of epitomized the political scene a little bit here. I thought McSally was very combative and kind of at the end kind of went full Trump on the whole thing. She's obviously embraced Trump. That's something new. She didn't do that as a congressperson until she decided to run for the Senate. But her style, and then, you know, she ended up shouting over the over her opponent and over the moderators at the end. I mean, it was very, you know, maybe that's the way people are going to act in the future. But Kyrsten certainly didn't do that. She was very calm, cool, and collected. I see some people think, you know, she was a little too calm, cool, and collected. They wanted her to fight back more. But I think she's very much on message. And I think only one person looked senatorial up there, and that was Kyrsten Sinema.
Now, again, former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods, you've been involved in these. You've seen these debates.
Yeah.
You understand, and I don't think it's a secret. You know, there's a debate prep. There's coaching. There's kind of a, I think Monica Lindstrom said, there's like a flow chart. You know, if they say this, then you say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everything we saw on that stage last night was planned to a certain extent, that McSally's strategy is aggressive and Sinema's strategy is calm and collected.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I've seen the polls, the internals, the real polls, not just stuff that's thrown out there.
Yeah.
And I think McSally's reflecting she's seen the same numbers. I think she's in trouble here, and that's why she's bringing Trump in at the end of the week, whereas before she was distancing herself from her. And that's why she's just going all out saying, I've got to keep my base. I've got to keep every Republican vote here, and I'm just going to not worry about Democrats or independents. Basically, I can win this with just Republicans. So she's going to be very aggressive, very Trump-like, and totally embrace Trump, because that's the strategy now. With Kyrsten, I think her mission was, in these, you know, nonstop negative ads that have been run against her, they try to portray her as some, you know, wild-eyed, crazy socialist. And she just needed to show that she's not that. She's actually been in office for, you know, most of her adult life and conducted herself very well and knows the issues. And, you know, let's not take the bait there. And so I think that's why you saw her basically showing what she is, which is someone who knows the issues backwards and forwards and is very calm about things. She's very laser focused, as you could see last night. She's not going to be thrown off of her game. So she wanted to project that, I think, and I think she did. So, yeah, both sides probably stayed to what they wanted to do, with the exception that McSally obviously got very flustered in that. I thought the moderators were excellent, by the way. It was all fact-based, but on the facts, for example, on her health care votes, things like that. They really pressed McSally, and she didn't like that.
So, Grant, they had an hour to do this debate, and like Bruce mentioned, things were probably planned out. They knew what they were going to say, how they were going to respond. Was there anything shocking that happened during this debate? Because we all think of the treason comments, or is that more of a telling moment than it is a shocking moment?
I don't know how shocking it is given the negative campaign that's been run against Sinema, but it was, I think probably both, Monica. I think it certainly was telling. I've been to a million of these debates. I've been in these debates as a candidate, you know, many times. And if you end the debate shouting over the moderator and your opponent and yelling treason, that's not good. That wasn't planned, okay? I mean, I thought John Wilkes Booth was swooping onto the stage, you know. It wasn't in Latin, but other than that, it was one of those moments. It was just weird. So I think that was an odd moment. But I think, I think she was frustrated because it hadn't gone too well. But the reason it hadn't gone too well is because Kirsten was very calm and collected and showed her stuff. And the moderators, I don't know if she thought they were going to be a bunch of patsies or what, but, you know, they pressed both candidates on their votes and on the issues. And particularly on health care, I think she was very frustrated having it exposed that she did vote to take away people's basic health care rights on pre-existing conditions. She didn't like that, but they didn't let her get by with just the normal, pablum. And that's a credit to Channel 8 and to Ted Simons and the Republic moderator. So
yeah, we're talking to former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods, who was there at the debate last night. He came out and said he supports Congresswoman Sinema's bid for the Senate. So full disclosure, we kind of know where he's at with that. And you mentioned the negative ads, and I come back to the idea, and again, you've been in the middle of these races. You've been on every position inside a political campaign. You've been involved. Negative ads, they run them because they work. Has anything changed? Is there a difference in today's 2018 politics? Are negative ads as effective as they once were?
Well, that I don't know. I guess we're going to see.
Right.
And we might see in this race.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Sinema has run a lot of positive ads. I think most of her ads are pretty positive. I haven't seen any positive McSally ads. I think a couple things have changed. One is, and I think this comes from the top, okay, you could just lie, flat out lie, make stuff up, and there apparently are no repercussions for that. And I would just point you to this Harold Tippernini, Dr. Tippernini, running against Debbie Lesko in CD8. This got a lot of attention the last
week. We talked yesterday about the fake doctor
stuff.
He
put up signs saying fake doctor next to Tippernini's signs. Well, what does that mean, fake doctor? She's a doctor.
Yeah.
You can't say fake doctor. I mean, you could say you don't think she's a good doctor, or you could make something else up. But you can't say fake, right? But what are the repercussions? Well, I don't know. I guess that's up to the voters. So I think one thing that's changed is you could just say anything now and just make stuff up, and we see that all over the place. The other thing that's changed is because we don't know and don't require it, which is a huge mistake to our democracy, we don't require people to disclose who's putting these ads out. Then a lot of these negative ads are put out there by independent expenditure committees. And these are special interests who don't have to disclose who they are or what their interest is. And that can be very frustrating for a candidate because, the viewer, you don't know whether this ad was put up by the candidate or put up by somebody else. All you see is this nasty ad.
And you associate it. Right.
Yeah, and you associate it with the candidate. And I'll tell you something, Bruce. I had a friend a few years ago. He was running for, he's a former AG, and he was running for governor of Indiana. And he had his whole plan was he was going to say, I'm going to do only positive ads. I'm going to run a completely positive campaign. I'm not going to say anything negative about my opponent. This is about my vision. And he was going to announce on a Monday. On the weekend, some IE just blanketed the airways with these negative ads about his opponent. Yeah. On Sunday night, he had a meeting of his campaign people because he was going to announce the next morning. And he said, okay, here's my speech. Here's what I'm going to say. And they're like, hey, dude, what are you, an idiot? People are going to think you're insane. You say, I'm running a clean campaign, and all they've seen are negative ads all week.
Yeah.
Goes, yeah, but that wasn't me. Because, well, they don't know it wasn't you. So my point is, sometimes you can't even control your own campaign in this day and age. That's not going to change unless people reject negative ads when they vote, which I urge them to do, and we require disclosure of who's behind these ads and who's paying the big money to put them on television. We have to do that.
Well, and I think you make a solid point there, because both, at least in the Senate race here, if we're going back to McSally v. Sinema, there are negative ads being run against both candidates that do not come from the candidates themselves. As a matter of fact, by law, they are not allowed to have any coordination with these outside dark money groups, whatever you want to call independent groups that can run ads and literally say anything they want about a candidate. And you just have to sit there and go, well, it's going to reflect upon me, but I have no control of it. I think that's frustrating. Grant, thank you very much for your time, though. We appreciate it.
Something has changed since I ran,
yeah.
You know, back in the day, is I'm not saying all of them, but I'm going to say almost every ad you see is from an independent expenditure by either the Republican Attorney General's Association or the Democratic Attorney General's Association.
Mm.
And they're all negative. Now, who are those organizations?
I have no idea.
Those are organizations that are paid for by big companies who want to influence the attorneys general.
And have motivations that you and I don't have any idea what they are. They know what their motivation is. It's not obvious in their ads. Grant, thank you very much. Again, former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods joining us with his recap and what he saw last night in the senatorial debate.